grab out your Bible, something to take some notes with as we study God's Word today. I'm excited about this morning. We're in part four of our series called Prophets and Kings. I told you week one, I had had a heart to do a series on some of the kings of Israel and Judah, the way that they led. And then in the summer, I was going to revisit some of the prophets. And then I thought, why don't I do them both together? I think this is a good thing to do. So we started out this series studying some of those prophets and judges and kings who led the nation of Israel and then Judah when the nation split, led them well and led them poorly. This is a study not only of the triumphs, but of the mistakes. I think we can learn a lot from those who God chose to lead his people. Not only the way they led the people, the way that God led them, and the way that they chose to follow or not follow, some of the mistakes they've made. But then all of that wrapped up in the vantage point we have on this side of the cross, in Jesus' victory, being able to study those who came before. I think it gives us a unique perspective. And so we started to study. Week one, we looked at King Hezekiah, when the Assyrians, when they invade the land, and he has this moment of crisis. And we talked about how you can't control what happens to you in this world, but you can control how you respond. That we as Christians cannot control the world around us, but man, we can control our actions that we take and the faith that we have in the God who leads us. So that was week number one. Week two, we looked at Elisha the prophet and the widow and her oil, how we don't discount the giftings God has already given us. What do you have in your house? Last week, we looked at Solomon as he's going into the kingship. The kingdom's being passed to him, and his father announces him as weak and untested, a little bit soft. We looked at the little bit his introduction that wasn't all that great, but how Solomon knew not to trust in his own strength, but to trust the Lord for wisdom. And so if you miss any of those, you can jump online and grab them out. Today we're going to look, I'm going to switch back from a king to a prophet, and not just a prophet, because this is someone who plays a lot of different roles. If you try to nail down who they were to the children of Israel, they fill so many different roles, important roles in leading the nation. Because before the kings ever ruled the nation, God would raise up what were called judges to lead the people. And so these would be men or women that God would raise up for a season to lead the people in war, to lead the people in judgment, to lead the people in spiritual breakthrough or revival. God would raise up these individuals, and they were called judges because then they would decide between disputes and what Israel should do. And so the judges would lead the nation, God would lead the judges, and this is what would happen. And so the person we're going to study today, the final judge to ever rise, would be the prophet Samuel. And so Samuel comes at the tail end of the season of judges, and it's in fact, he's the transitional person between the judges to the kings. And so he anoints the first two kings of Israel, King Saul and King David. He's a pivotal role in this. He is the guy at this moment. And so he leads them as a judge. But then the children of Israel do something incredibly stupid. So they try to throw off what God has given them as leadership. And they plead to God for a king. Samuel's the one that they send before God to ask for a king. And so they give up what God had given them. And they ask for something, and honestly, so much worse. And God warns them about that, but then he gives them what they asked for. And part of the reason we studied these kings is because then you see the fallout from that decision. But at this moment, as they're choosing the alternative, Samuel is the guy. He's this massive figure in history. He's a prophet. He's a judge. He's the leader. Samuel is all of these different things, but he wasn't always that. Like, he is this massive figure in the history of the children of Israel, but he wasn't always that figure. In fact, Samuel's one of the few larger-than-life figures in the Bible that Scripture also tells us about his childhood. You ever think about that? Like, I don't care who you meet. I don't care who the person is, how powerful, how in charge, how well-placed, how whatever they are, whatever larger-than-life personality, at one point in time, they were like a 2 or 3-year-old. You guys ever think about that? It gives you perspective of people. At one point in time, they threw tantrums, and they cried, and they were disciplined by their parents, and they had all these things. Well, maybe some adults weren't, and we see that, right? We see the fallout of that. But at some point, they were a small child. And I think that gives us a little perspective. So Samuel, the Bible gives us his story. Like, I don't care how intimidating he becomes, how smart and how wise and how great. He once was a kid. And we see the story in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm going to give you the context of this. And then we'll dive right in. We're picking up the story when Samuel is about 8 or 9, maybe 10 years old. He's in like 4th or 5th grade. And he's working for the priest in the tabernacle. The priest's name is Eli, and so Samuel works for him because Samuel's mother was given a miracle in his birth, and so she dedicates him to the work of the Lord. She brings him to Eli at the tabernacle. She dedicates Samuel. And so he works in there. He works for the house of God and he works for the priest. And so every year his parents would visit him and his mother would make him a little coat. And then the rest of the year he would work in the house of the Lord for the priest in the tabernacle. The problem was the priest he was working for was not honoring God. And so Samuel is given to honor God. He's given to make this like dedication of his life. But then the person that he's working for is not honoring God with his life. He's not disciplining his family correctly. He's letting his sons as priests run amok among the children of Israel, letting them sin, not bringing them back in, not turning their hearts, the children of Israel's hearts, or his own heart towards God. And so God is going to bring judgment on the land and on this priest. And so this is where we find 9-year-old Samuel, 4th grade, serving the priest in this moment. And so one day Samuel goes to bed, and the Lord speaks to this young boy, and he says, Samuel, or God's voice,
Samuel,
right? He comes and speaks. He speaks to this young boy in the middle of the night. Now, I don't know how you were taught this, if you were in Sunday school when you were little, but I had a few teachers tell me about, like, and if you pray, God might speak to you like that. And I used to pray, Lord, please do not. In the middle of the night, Lord, I speak to me any other way, but not the middle of the night. Poor Samuel, sleeping alone. It said near the Ark of the Covenant. Samuel is sleeping, 9 years old, and God scares the mess. I don't know. That's just free for you, all right? So he's not, actually the Bible's intentional about saying he wasn't expecting to hear the voice of the Lord. Because the voice of the Lord was rare in those days. And he had never heard the voice of the Lord before. I promise, the Bible gives you hints and clues. Samuel's terrified at this, but Samuel hears his name. And so the Bible says he didn't expect to hear from God. He'd never heard from God before. And so he runs to the only person he knows, thinking they're calling. And he runs into Eli's room and he's like, did you say my name? And the priest is confused, which can be a whole study on itself, that the voice of the Lord was so rare in those days. The priest is confused. And he's like, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And so Samuel goes back to bed. A second time, the voice of the Lord comes, Samuel, Samuel. And so he runs back into the priest's room. He's like, did you call me again? And the priest is like, nope, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Which I read this story so differently since I had children. I don't know if you read any kind of Bible stories differently when you go through different seasons of life. Since I've had kids, anybody who's a parent understands this concept of if those little legs get out of that bed one more time, so help me. Eli twice now. Eli's like, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Somebody didn't know it's the voice of the Lord that was calling your children out of bed. It's the voice of the Lord that tells them they are starving as soon as you say go to bed. I have to eat. I'm so hungry. I don't know what to think. All the parents in the room, you just know. Then a third time, the voice of the Lord came to him. Samuel, he dashed into the priest room. And the priest realized, you know what? We're sleeping in the tabernacle of God. Like the priest has this light bulb moment. I don't know why it took him this long. We're sleeping in the very place where God's presence dwells on the earth. Maybe it's God. And so he says, Samuel, you know what? It's the voice of the Lord that may be speaking to you. If you hear his name or you hear your name again, here's what I want you to say. I want you to stop and I want you to tell him. Watch this in the verse. Verse 9, he says, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And so Samuel goes back to bed. And we see the story. This is where we kind of pick it up in verse 10. And the Lord came again and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, watch this prayer. He replies, speak, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. Speak to me, God. And what I want us to see this morning is God does speak to Samuel. But what God speaks to him is not an easy message. It wasn't pleasant to hear. And before I tell you what God said to him, I'm just curious, all of those in the room, watching online, if anybody in the Victory Fam, if you want to play some Bible trivia this morning, all right? So here's your question. Here's what we're going to play. Before I tell you what God tells Samuel, for 500 points and an extra room on your mansion in heaven, I don't know, you're going to win some good things today. How many times did God speak to his people in all of Scripture, in all of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament? How many times did he come and speak to his people and give them an assignment? And that assignment was easy to fulfill. Like how many times, I'll ask again, just think about this for a moment. How many times did God come to his people and say, here's what I want you to do. And they were like, yeah, of course, that's easy, God. I'll get that done right away, Lord. I'm so glad you called them to something. But thank you, Lord, for this assignment. This is easy. How many times did God, you look through Scripture. And I have looked and looked, you look through, but there are a million examples of the other direction. of God coming to his people and giving them assignments that are out of this world to hear. You think about Noah. God comes to Noah and like, Noah, I need you to build an ark. And Noah's like, absolutely, God, I'll build an ark. What is an ark? And God, like, it's a really big boat. It's like a football field and a half, and you're going to build this thing. I told you when we studied Noah last year, about midway through the year, we studied Noah and his boat, that when Nick, our worship pastor, was teaching in the academy, he worked out that Noah's ark was about the size, at least in dimensions, of our parking lot out here between the church and the school. You know this big rectangle where the parking lot is? That's about the size of this thing God called Noah to build. So you can study that when you leave today. I tell you it was on purpose for some spiritual reason. Not at all, everybody. We just lucked out with that one, all right? But that's where it is. God comes to Noah and he's like, and then you're going to gather male and female of every creature. You're going to go in this thing. You're going to repopulate the earth. All this stuff can happen. And Noah's not like, yeah, God, that's great. I will do that before lunch. It will be amazing. This thing will happen. It's never easy. God comes to Jonah. Jonah, I want you to go to the most wicked, perverse, violent people on earth and tell them, repent or die. And Jonah's like, sure, God, that sounds great. That sounds like what I should be doing. You go to the New Testament. God comes to Mary and is like, Mary, I know you're a teenager and I know that everything's easy, but you're going to actually have a son and he is going to be the Son of God. I know that you're unmarried virgin and this is going to happen. And Mary wasn't like, you know what? This is going to be great for my brand. Like this is going to be, my reputation is about to skyrocket from this. This is going to be amazing. Like hashtag blessed to raise the Son of God. I don't know what it's going to be like. Just Mary wasn't like, this is yes. Now, Mary responded in the right way, but I promise you, this is not an easy assignment that was given to God's people. How many times does God speak and it's easy? It's never easy to hear. Every time God would speak and give an assignment, it would stretch them. It would challenge them. As God speaks to Samuel, this is not an easy thing God is about to say. And I just want you to know, if you're going to pray this prayer, you have the courage to pray like Samuel, speak, Lord. Your servant hears. I just want you to know what he says will probably challenge and stretch you. I promise you it will build your faith and cause you to depend on him. But it's never easy to hear what God gives us to do. So Samuel says, speak, God, I'm listening. Unfortunately, what God didn't say to little Samuel, God wasn't like, okay, now that I have your attention, Samuel, I'm so glad that you're listening. I am about to pour out my blessing on all the people in all the earth. God wasn't like, oh, Samuel, I'm about to do something amazing and people will be so incredibly pleased to hear what I'm about to tell you to tell them. That's not what he says. He's not like, oh, Samuel, you know that cute girl in your youth group? I am calling you to marry her one day and have two kids and a dog and a six-figure income as a YouTube influencer. That's not what he tells Samuel. This isn't like the blessing is pouring out. What God says to him, to a young boy, 9 years old, he says, Eli the priest has been sinning against me. He hasn't turned his heart back and he hasn't led his family well and he hasn't honored me in my house. He hasn't turned the hearts of the people back to God. And so I'm bringing judgment, not only on Eli and his house, but on the people. That's what he tells Samuel. How'd you like to be Samuel in that moment? Because God is like, I'm going to trust you, Samuel, a young boy, to tell the nation I'm about to judge them. To tell the prophet of God I'm about to judge him. Now, if I'm Samuel, I'm like, you know what, Lord? I just talked to Eli like a few minutes ago. You want me to go grab him and you can tell him like right now? Like, that's what I would be. I can't imagine at this age. Samuel's got all these other problems going on. Samuel, right then, he hears the voice of the Lord, this weight of what God tells him and trust to him. And Samuel prays, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And this is what God says. In fact, in other words, I want to encourage you, do not pray this prayer, speak, Lord. Don't pray for God to speak unless you actually want to hear what he has to say. Don't pray this prayer unless you actually want to hear. Speak, Lord, I want to hear your voice. And so what I want to do today is kind of take a step back and look at prayer maybe from a larger perspective. And what I hope you understand is prayer is, in its essence, communicating with God. This is our chance to go before the throne of God. This is communicating with the God who created us and loves us, to go before his grace and to call out on his name. But any kind of meaningful communication is not one-sided. Do you understand that? Like, this is not, prayer is not just us 100% of the time just speaking to God, just giving one-way communication. Prayer is actually listening to God, realigning ourselves with his purpose and his word and what he has to do. And so I promise you, in fact, I would wager that God has done a million times more in my life when I have listened to him versus the times that I am speaking. You guys understand that? Like, I'll just step on my own toes. I don't know about your life. I don't know how you operate. But in my own life, I would say God has done infinitely more when I have listened to him versus the times that I am speaking. And I am a very wise and good, I am a very prominent person that I would speak. And God, I self-efface in these types of things. God, in his infinite wisdom, knows more than me. It's an amazing place to get to. And so Samuel, I don't know, I think, and this is just my, you could throw it out. I think because God calls Samuel at such a young age, because he speaks to him at this moment, Samuel never has time to build an ego. Samuel never has time to those things. He goes through a lot of rejection and pain in this transition from judge to king. And he is hurt in so many ways, but it's always on behalf of God. It's never his own ego. And I love this about Samuel. But this idea of we would go to God and we would listen. We would say, speak, Lord. I want to hear what you have to say in my life. And I think too oftentimes we are always speaking and speaking and speaking. Our prayer life is us speaking and speaking. And so the question not is, do you ever speak to God? The question is, do we ever listen? Are we ever actually open? And so you might say, okay, I'm in. I want to pray this prayer. Lord, speak to me. How do I hear the voice of God? What I want to do is make it as simple as I can. And I just want to give you three spiritual thoughts that, if nothing else, they get us in the posture of prayer that we can hear from God. You understand? So if nothing else, I just want us this week, if we're going to do this, if we're going to hear from God, I just want us to be in the right posture. The first thing I would encourage you to do, and this first one is honestly against all of the momentum of the culture that we live in, and the lives that we choose to lead. This kind of flies in the face of all of that. And that is, jot it down if you're taking notes. Number one, that is we would be still before God. Like in the chaos of life and in the things, the infinite amount of things that we need to do and the things that we need to run around and scurry around doing, that we would be still and rest in his presence. In fact, Psalms 46 tells us about experiencing the presence of God. And here's, let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, be frantic and know that I am God. It doesn't say like, be busy and you will know that I am God. Then like, seek me on the go and you will experience me as God. That's not what it says. It says, be still and know that I am God. He's talking about if the world is going to honor, if the nations are going to be turned back, if he's going to be honored, be still and recognize, be still and listen, be still and be in his presence, pause and stop. And I think sometimes we hear that and we take it as like, okay, I'll just slow a little bit. I'll slow down just enough to like, have you ever seen like the marathon runners that they have like the tail, they slow just enough to grab the water and then they're back running the marathon. We're like, just enough to like grab whatever water you're talking about. But then I got to run this thing. I got to go here. I got to be there. I got to do this. I got all these things. Be still. I think we have misinterpreted in every way. Be still and know that I am God. Question for you. When's the last time that you... And I came up with a bunch of stuff for this list, but I'm gonna go on this one. When's the last time that you binged watched something? Like you binge watched Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus or Prime Video or one of the other 100,000 things. That's not cable, but costs just as much as cable. You understand what I'm going for? When's the last time you binge watched something? Hour, 2 hours? Some of you are like, that's child's play. 2 hours is like time to make the snacks and then I settle in for the long haul. But when's the last time you just spent time doing something? Or forget that. When's the last time you read a book or worked out or gave an hour of your day to something? An entire hour, 60 minutes to something. Now, I'm not pointing fingers because I am in this boat way more often than I would like to admit up here on the stage. But when's the last time we just like scrolled through something? Or when's the last time like you were on whatever app it is or social media or TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is that you do? When's the last time we gave an hour of it to something? Chances are it was yesterday. Chances are it was this morning. Come on, somebody. Chances are, but let's say it was yesterday. Let's just be on that page together. But then when's the last time we took an hour and we spent it in the presence of God? Like, not like we took an hour and we listened to a message and then we listened to this or that. When's the last time we actually spent time in his presence? When's the last time we actually, without distraction, without things? Some of you are like afraid of that, like afraid of the silence. You're like, I don't want to do, I got to have something going at all. When's the last time that we just took that? It says, be still and know. Pause. You know, it's why we do the days of prayer in January and August. We just try to work this thing into, if no one came, if it was just me in January, August, it would be worth it. Because we're trying to get that discipline in our lives of having that time, just being still before God. You know how important it is to have a quiet prayer time? Jesus talked about this. I think we don't make the connection that this is part of what he is teaching us to do. But Jesus, when he speaks about prayer, watch this. He says, so when you pray, when it's your time to pray, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by. They love to be as loud and as boisterous and as much commotion as they can get around them. I tell you, they've received their reward in full. Whatever people say about them standing out there, hate or love, that's their reward. That's what they get. But then he said, when you pray, look how he describes the moment. Go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Imagine that moment, that kind of prayer, where you're still and quiet. There's not all this crazy commotion and thing. He's like as deep as you can get in the house and then shut the door even then. Be still. Be still and see that I am God. And so we pray this prayer. Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. So you might be like, okay, Ben, I'm in. I'm gonna pray this prayer. Am I going to hear like the audible voice of God? You might. You might hear the like Morgan Freeman talking in the King's English, right? You might hear the audible voice. You might hear, it might come in that way. God may speak to you. So and so, thou shalt break up with him. For I have unto you someone better looking with a job and a 401k. It might come to you. I don't know. I haven't heard that. But I promise you that I hear the voice of God in so many different ways in my life. If we're willing to listen, if we're willing to listen, how might God speak to you? I promise you so many different ways. I just made a list of a few of them. The first one, and probably the most reliable and important to recognize, is that God speaks through his word. That he speaks through the word of God. His word is living and active, Hebrews said. It will speak to you. It will convict you of wrongdoing and stuff that needs to get out of your life. It will divide the flesh. It will build your faith. It is God's living word. We are people of the word. If you tell me you haven't heard from God lately, I will probably ask you, have you been in his word lately? Because he speaks through it. Our God is a God who speaks. He speaks through his word. God also speaks through people. Watch this. God speaks through people. God will send people in your life. He might speak through a message. He might speak through a song someone wrote. He might speak through a close friend. I promise you, in my life, it has been my great joy and my great pain. And honestly, to my great conviction that the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds suspiciously like the voice of my wife. Come on, somebody. Like it is an amazing thing in my life that God has sent her to speak to me. And I promise you that when I quit fighting it and quit thinking, when I finally decide that God has sent this blessing to my life, it has changed so many things in me. Yeah, come on. All the wives said amen. We just prayed in the thing. It's an amazing thing what God will do. And I will have moments in my life where the kids are going crazy. Somebody's complaining. I'm like, who are these people? Who is their role model? These kids need Jesus. Who gave us these kids? What did they say? They need something. And my wife will just look at me and then I smile and I understand exactly what, whose fault it is. I understand exactly. God will send people to speak to you. God will speak through his word. He will speak through people. He'll also speak through circumstances. You say, how does God speak to me? There's stuff that maybe you thought, there's no way this could ever happen. There's no way I could ever do that. And then the door opens. You ever had that in your life? Well, God will open doors and you're like, that just had to be God. Or you really wanted something and the door stayed closed. And you're like, why is this door? I really want to go through this door. And this door, some of you, God has rescued by closing doors. You understand? Like some of you dated that door like 20 years ago. Come on, somebody. Like God is God. And you saw where that door ended up. And you're like, praise God, someone else walked through that door. You're like in that thing. Like some of you, God closes doors. Some he opens. God will speak through your circumstances. God will speak in your life. And he will use things around you. God will also speak to you through his spirit. Those of you who are followers of Christ through his Holy Spirit, you are made brand new. Jesus said the Father would send his spirit to lead you in all things, that he would guide you and direct you. He would convict you and he would show you. That's why when you become a Christian, sometimes in your life, when the Holy Spirit is guiding you and you think, that's why you get those promptings and those feelings. And you're like, I don't really know where it's coming from. But you say things like, well, I just feel led to do this. And you're like, I wonder what that was. I wonder what that, or you're like, I just feel prompted to be generous to this person. I just feel led to pray for this. Or I just feel led to encourage you in this. And you're like, well, how do I know if this is the voice of God? What I want you to know is every time it is calling you to be a blessing or an encouragement or be the love and the hands and feet of Christ in this world, it's not the devil calling you to do that. You understand? Like every time it's calling you to be an encouragement to somebody, Be an encouragement to them. Don't just sit back and be like, you know what that is? That's us saying, I don't want to do it, and so I need another way out besides my own selfishness. Come on, somebody, put that on a bumper sticker. Anytime you feel prompted, like, hey, I want to be an encourager. Hey, I just feel led to pray for you. I just feel led to be generous to that person. I just feel led to reach out. I don't know why, but I needed to call you. I just feel led to do it. I can't tell you how many times I have felt that and I have fought against it and then realized later on it was the Holy Spirit and I didn't do it. And I don't know, it's a particular type of shame when you realize I should have and I didn't and now I see the fallout of it. And like one time in 10, I have done it. And I promise you, the gift that God gives. I called someone one time. I had no idea. It ended up being the anniversary of the reason I was calling them. And they were so blessed. They were like, Pat, I can't believe that you remember. I was like, I didn't remember. I didn't want to tell them that. But I was like, I led by the Holy Spirit. I did what he called me to do. And I promise you, God will prompt you. The Holy Spirit will lead you. We need to be people who listen. We need to be people, and it's what God is speaking to us. Be still and know that he is God. Here's the bottom line. The more you listen to God's voice, the better you're able to discern it. The more you listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the more you're able to decide, yeah, that is him calling me to do this. The more you recognize, Jesus said, the sheep, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. In fact, he even says they'll run from them. Like they'll run away from the voice of them. You want to know God's voice? Be still before the Lord. We pray this prayer. Speak, Lord, your servants listening. Number one, be still. Second thing is we have to be willing. Jot this down. You got to be willing to do what God is leading you to do. I don't know about you, but so often my prayers are often like babbling. Like, God, if you just would. God, if you just, this is my wish list. If I were you, God, this is how I would do it. None of you pray prayers like that. Just me, right? If I was in your place, it would be done like this by now. This is how it would happen. If you said something, it would tell you. Like, instead of going before God and listening, we go before with our demand. Like, how amazing would it be, instead of going with our wish list, we went before God with an empty sheet of paper? Because I promise you, you go to your boss's office with a list of things that they need to do more often than you go with a list of things you'd like to hear what you should be doing. You will have a change of employment very quickly. You understand? Like, if we went before God with a blank sheet of paper, God, what do you want to say to me? I'm your servant. Like Samuel, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. What do you want to do? And then be willing to apply it. During the days of prayer in January, we learned and we decided to pray this prayer of search me, O God. Know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in paths everlasting. Like, see if there's anything impure in my life. Show me what it is. Let's root this thing out. You know what happens when you pray that prayer? It happened in January. But you know what happened? God shows you where there are impurities if you say, God, show me. But the problem we run into is a lot of people, God will come and be like, and this and this, and you're like, Lord, just done too many things. Like, let's just do top 10 and see if we can work those things out. Because God is a God who speaks. And so if you pray this prayer, God will show you things where we need to purify. 1 John says, if we'll confess these sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. This idea that God would be in this with us, but that if we pray the prayer, God is faithful to show us, to purify us, to point out these things. And I don't know what you may pray or ask God for. But when we pray, our hearts are changed. That God would actually work these things out in us. That we would be pure. That we would be sanctified. It's a big Christian word. All it means is working from where we are to where God has for us to be. So I don't know what you may be seeking God for. You may be praying, God, you know, I'm having trouble in my marriage. And so teach me to honor this spouse who's not honoring you. Teach me to do these things. God, point out motives in my life that are impure. God, I want to not just come to church. I want to be the church. And so show me people that I can be an encouragement and a blessing to. God, I don't know. God, would you just show me who to bless? And God, would you show me who to honor? And God, where can I be generous? And God, who needs encouragement? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So we're called to do that. We're called to be still, to listen to the voice of God, but then be willing to do what God tells you to do. And then number three, we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready. Incredibly important, because when God speaks, make sure you're ready to do what he says and what he shows you. You think about little Samuel, little boy, he's working for Eli. Certainly he wants to honor the priest that he serves. Certainly he wants to honor the priest, the man of God, but the man of God, the priest, is not honoring God with his life. And so Samuel is given this incredible task. God says, the priest is not honoring me, Samuel. I'm trusting you to have the integrity to carry the message, to tell him that my judgment is coming. The integrity to say, when you say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You remember, God never gave an assignment to his people that was easy to fulfill. God may speak to you, and God may reveal something inside of you that needs to change. God may reveal something inside of you that needs to be made pure, something that needs to be worked out, something that needs to be done. Somewhere where you need to repent, God may spur you to do something that you don't feel qualified to do. Think about Gideon hiding in a wine press. God calls him to lead the armies of the nation. You think about David on the backside of a hill tending to the sheep, and God calls him to kill a giant and become the king. God may call you to be bold in your faith. He may call you to bless someone generously. He may call you to forgive someone who didn't even ask for forgiveness and certainly does not deserve it. God may call you to do something that is difficult, but we pray, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. This week, what if we had the courage, the faith, to not only pray that prayer, but to start every day saying, God, speak. God, today, interrupt me. God, show me someone who's hurting. God, bring me across the path of someone who needs your love. God, show me what I need to work out of my life so I can continue to follow you. God, what if we prayed that prayer, speak, Lord, willing to follow and then ready to do what he's called us to do? I promise, when he does speak, if you're anything like me, you might be like, Lord, I'm going to need a few more details. Probably we can't handle the details. I'm just going to be honest with you. But we still need to be ready to do what he's called us to do. We're still before him saying, speak, Lord. We got to be willing to listen to what he has to say and then ready to live out what God has called. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Bow your heads with me as we pray today. God, we're here. We're your servants and we're listening to you. Lord, would you speak to us in this moment? I know a lot of people in this room. I know you might say, look, I've fallen short in this area. Listen, I don't get up here and point fingers that I don't point right back at myself, that we have fallen short maybe in dedicating time to listen to God. Not just our wish list, not just our babbling prayer. No, we dedicate time to hear from him. I promise you, there's no better time to start than right now. Like this week, start praying this prayer. Start setting aside, maybe at the beginning of the day, just be, set aside and say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Send people today, God, I'm ready. Give me an assignment, God, I'm willing. Let's pray that prayer, God. We ask, Lord, speak to us. If we haven't been intentional to set aside time, God, show us the moment that we need to give to you. Let's be intentional about it. If we didn't follow the last thing you gave us to do, God, let us go back and get back on the right path. But if we haven't been intentional about being in your word or hearing your voice, or even obeying the promptings that we know are the Holy Spirit, God, give us courage and faith, yes, Lord, but God, just give us endurance. A willingness to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we believe and trust that you'll move in a mighty way in our life, God. We continue to pray, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. And some of you are here today and you're saying, well, I've never heard God speak in my life. God's never spoken to me. Truth is, it could simply because you don't have a relationship with him. But however far you think you are from God today, whether you're in the room, whether you're online, however far you think you are, I promise you, God has spoken to you. The Bible says thousands of years ago, and then throughout his word, that God spoke through his judges and his prophets, but that now he's spoken through his son, Jesus Christ. That his prophets could go to one person and give a prophecy, or even a nation or a multitude and give a prophecy, but God has spoken to the entire world through his son, Jesus. He's made available something that could only be done through Jesus. that God has spoken to you. And you might say, well, who is Jesus to me? Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God, who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, then died in your place and mine for the forgiveness of our sins. It isn't any complicated than that. It's as simple as Jesus gave his life to forgive you of your sins, me of my sins, to be the sacrifice that we should have had to give. But the Bible says he didn't stay dead. It says he rose from the dead, that anyone, including you, including me, can call on the name of Jesus and be saved. You say God hasn't spoken. God has spoken to you in the greatest way possible, that he's extended freedom and forgiveness freely to you. That the God of the universe loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And I don't care what anybody else has ever told you. The God of the universe wants you. He loves you. And the sacrifice that Jesus gave, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, is freely available. I don't care who you are, it is available to you. No matter how far you ran, there's forgiveness at the foot of the cross. No matter how far you think you've pushed God away, there is forgiveness at the foot of the cross. I don't care how addicted or how far gone you think you are, there is healing at the foot of the cross. That God can make you brand new. And it would be my honor to pray that prayer of salvation and forgiveness with you. And I don't know if you know this, our church has dedicated itself to pray this with every single person who would be willing to pray. If that's you, you say, I want forgiveness. If you say, I want to accept the gift that Jesus died and rose again to give. If you say, that's me, I want to follow God. I want his plan for my life. Right now, you can make that start. Right now, it's a decision you get to make in this moment. And listen, I'm not looking to embarrass you. I'm not calling you out in the middle of that. We want to pray this prayer with you right where you are. All of us are going to pray this with you. But you have to decide for yourself. Each person decides for your own life. Will you follow Jesus? So come on, church, let's pray this with them. Anybody who wants to pray, no one prays alone. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sin, of all my mistakes. I repent. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said amen and amen. Come on, church. Can we give God praise for what he's done today?